To another episode of the Isaiah K podcast. Welcome back. So this is a very, very important episode. This is my NFL season predictions. These are my record predictions. I know a lot of people have been waiting on this. You guys have probably have enjoyed week one, like I have enjoyed week one. I had these predictions and these thoughts about these teams. Kind of already my mind made up, so nothing in week one is going to make me change my mind, as you're gonna see by my predictions and so forth. So I have my record predictions, my NFL record predictions, and I will give you guys all of my playoff teams from each conference. And then I might even talk some college football. College football is really, really heating up. We've had some first couple exciting weeks in college football. So I think we're ready to get on. I think we're ready to get it started. So without further ado, I am your humble, highly favorite host, Isaiah Kitt of the Isaiah Kitt Podcast. Welcome to everybody that is joining us. If you are a new listener coming into this NFL season, welcome on aboard. You can expect reactions from each and every week. If you're a regular listener, you know how we go. But there's reactions each and every week after every football Sunday, football Sunday and then Monday Night Football as well. And then I do something throughout the week, each and every week of the football season, a top 10 teams list. And it's different from a power ranking, but I do a top 10 teams list. So that's what you can expect week in, week out from, like, you know, in terms of reacting to certain games, reacting to certain, you know, things that just comes up and pop up. The biggest NFL stories, that is what we are covering throughout the entirety of the NFL season. Obviously, the NBA will start. But if you are here for the NFL, welcome. So shouts out to all the first-time listeners that are just now tapping in. Also, if you are a regular listener, you know how we get down. You know what to expect. If this is maybe you're a regular listener, maybe you just started, right? But you haven't had like a full NFL season with us. You will get to really experience that. We're dialed in. We're dialed in. It's NFL time. It's football time. So without further ado, and I ain't gonna lie to you guys, I got a couple wrinkles in my predictions, but it ain't too many wrinkles. So let's get into it. Let's not waste no more time. Let's get into it. We're going to start with the AFC, and we're going to start with the AFC West. And this particular team, I'm going to pick my division winner and then go from division winner all the way up to last place. And that's how we're going to go. That's how we're going to do each and every division in the NFL. So the Chiefs, I have them winning the NFC West. I know they lost to the Lions week one. That was also without their best defensive player in Chris Jones, who's, you know, he's stalling out and he's sitting out because of contract negotiation. He's trying to get that big time extension and so forth. There's a lot of talks going on about that. And then Travis Kelce had an injury, so he couldn't play. And as great as Patrick Mahomes is, as we all know he is, he's the best quarterback in football. It's hard when your receivers can't catch the ball. Like, you can't catch the ball for them, right? Like, you can only do but so much. And that was kind of what Thursday night was for the Chiefs. But I am not going to let that and that one loss view or just completely blindside my judgment. The Chiefs run this division. They've been kicking ass in this division since Peyton Manning is retired. Don't you know, since Peyton Manning has retired, the Chiefs have won the AFC West. So that is including two Alex Smith years in every year that Patrick Mahomes has been a starter, that the Chiefs have won the AFC West. And I would say most years they've done it kind of pretty comfortably, especially with Patrick Mahomes under him. So I'm not going to change my mind. I think the Chiefs are going to be like a 12-5 team. What more do you want me to say? I think they're going to win this division. If you're picking anybody else to win this division at this moment, I think you're foolish. I think whatever drugs you're on, I need that, because I think you're kind of foolish if you pick anyone else in this division. So I got Kansas City winning this division until somebody else wins it. That's how I feel about Kansas City. So they're going to win it at 12-5. My second team that's going to come in second place of this division, I have the Chargers. Now, with this Charger team, I expect a certain sense of urgency for a few reasons. First, they have invested so much into this football team with these large lump sum contracts. The latest big deal was Justin Herbert. And I broke that down earlier this summer. And obviously Herbert deserved it. Like his talent, since he stepped foot on the field, his talent is just it's undeniable, right? But that next step for him is winning big time games, right? And with the Chargers, I don't think it's all his fault. I think he's uberly talented, but I don't think it's all his fault. I think he easily has probably one of the most incompetent coaches in football, in Brandon Staley. Now, not saying that Brandon Staley don't know football, but I think at times he coaches and call plays and make decisions like there's five downs instead of four. And I think he's easily one of those coaches that is on the hot seat. And if things go downhill, he can be gone. So given the fact that you look at how last year ended, where they had the disappointing playoff loss, where they let the Jaguars come back from a 27 point deficit. They let the Jaguars do that. Herbert just got paid. Their talent, I feel like, is not a question. It's just, I think a lot of our questions and people's hesitancy about the Chargers, it has a lot to do with Brandon Staley, the coach. So this is a huge year from Brandon Staley. Now, their defense must improve. And if you want to be honest, Staley, he ran a lot more man coverage. And I think, hey, you know, they went all in with the J.C. Jackson signing last free agency, and it didn't work. When he did play, he just wasn't effective at all. He wasn't effective, and he was not the lockdown corner that they intended for him to be. And then he got hurt. So hopefully, I'm thinking more upside. I'm thinking more glass half full. He will be able to produce at somewhat of a level that they're expecting. But their pass defense honestly was better last year. If you look at all the advanced numbers or even the basic stats, their passing defense got really good, especially towards the latter part of the year. Now, what's tied and true is they cannot stop the run, and they haven't solved it quite yet with their personnel in terms of run stopping. So I still look at this defense as a huge issue in terms of being able to stop the run. But nevertheless, I have them finishing second. In third place, I have the Broncos. Now, I like Russell Wilson, and I don't think he's necessarily per se washed. But offensively, in Sean Payton, first, I think there's too much of a cultural shakeup that has to happen for Denver to be a 10-win team or to even be a playoff-caliber team. Now, would it surprise me if the Broncos made it to the playoffs? No. If you could write out a scenario where they make it to the playoffs, I wouldn't probably be surprised by it. But if I'm a betting man, I'm betting they're closer to six, seven, eight wins than they are 9, 10, 11 wins. Right. That's how I feel about the Broncos. Offensively, they're going to look to rely on the running game. They added some really good run blockers on the offensive line, but average to minimum pass blockers. And I assume that, hey, Sean Payton's not going to let Russ cook. He's going to let him cook in smaller doses. But unfortunately, I think that offensive scheme has limitations, and it's going to have a defined ceiling, especially when you're going up against superstar quarterbacks like Herbert, like Mahomes, who's going to put up points. And unless their defense is like the best in the league, I don't think they can overcome this limited offensive scheme that I expect them to running to be running. So I got the Broncos at third. The Raiders, I have them finishing last. Their defensive personnel scared me to death. I think Max Crosby is elite. I think he's one of the best edge rushers in the league. I think when we're mentioning guys like the Bosa brothers, Micah Parsons, Myles Garrett, TJ Watt, guys like that, Max Crosby is certainly within that group. So I like him a lot, but the Raiders want to play a lot of man, and they simply don't have the personnel. Now, their offensive personnel is really good. Josh Jacobs, all pro. Davante Adams, all pro. Offensive line was pretty steady last year, but I can't bet on Jimmy Garoppolo staying healthy. So I have the Raiders finishing last in that division. Let's move on to the AFC East. I'm going to pick it up a little bit. I got the Jets winning the AFC East. Their offensive line scares me a little bit. It does, especially with an older quarterback in Aaron Rodgers. It scares me. But I'm looking at the skill positions. I'm looking at Rodgers. I love this Rodgers rebrand. Like, since he's become a Jet, it's been like a Rodgers rebrand. I like it. I think the Jets are easily going to have a top five defensive unit in football. I'm also skeptical. Robert Saleh is a coach. I don't know what to really expect. I'm just hoping that, hey, the Jets, they put it all together. Rodgers reminds people that he's still capable of being not only a top 10 quarterback, but a top 5 quarterback. And it propels the Jets to an 11-win season. So I like the Jets winning the AFC East. I got the Bills coming in second. They scare me a little, right? They scare me a little. And I think with their tough playoff losses throughout the years, their Super Bowl window continues to get smaller and smaller and smaller. But I think Josh Allen, when he's healthy, when he's on the field for them, he gives them a chance each and every week. And I don't think their supporting cast is that bad where they miss the playoffs entirely, right? But I do think defensively they're relying on some older guys to really come through. But I can't find myself going against the foundation that they have built over the past couple years with Sean McDermott and Josh Allen and some of those pieces that they have there in Buffalo. So I got them finishing second. Miami, this is really tough for me because I think the Dolphins are really good, and this could come back and bite me. I don't know. But I don't see Tua Tagovailoa playing 17 games. I just don't see it. I don't know. I think with Vic Fangio, I like the acquisitions of defense that they have made. And Fangio is certainly one of the elite coordinators that we have in the league today. And he's proven, like, you give him a defense, they're really, really good. But I look at the Ramsey's out. He's going to miss a significant time. Bradley Chubb is not quite the same Bradley Chubb that we saw in Denver, but their defense should be respectable. It should be more than respectable. But I don't see Tua Tagovailoa playing 17 games. I think the league in the latter part of last year kind of caught on to Mike McDaniel's offensive schemes. Now, I do think Mike McDaniel is a hell of a coach, and I do think he's a brilliant offensive mind, and he'll find a way to catapult and combat some of those things that, you know, that defense was able to nitpick from them from last year. But I got the Dolphins finishing third. And then I got the Patriots finishing last. I'm sorry. Each and every year I have predicted, over the last 3 years, I have predicted the Patriots record correctly. I have predicted it correctly. And I think defensively they should be really good. I just don't see a perimeter talent. And that's the thing. I just don't see enough perimeter talent to keep up with the rest of these teams in their division. They may be able to beat a couple of these teams in their division, but in terms of winning double-digit games and trying to fight for a playoff spot, they'll still be competitive. They'll still be feisty. but I just don't see it. I have them finishing last place in the AFC, in the AFC East. Yeah. AFC North. This is going to surprise a lot of people. If you listen to my couple previous episodes, this shouldn't come as a surprise, but I got the Steelers winning the AFC North. I'm high on them. Now, they got a tough matchup versus the Niners, and I, you know, that the Niners are they're a machine. The Niners are a machine, and the Niners they're juggernauts, right? But I think the Steelers, they have the makings of being an 11 or 12 win team. I really do think so. I really do think so. And a lot of this is based on Kenny Pickett's progression. If Pickett, and we're going to talk about the other quarterbacks in the division, but if Pickett, if he's able to be 2019 Jimmy Garoppolo, where it's like he don't turn over the ball, he, you know, gets the ball out, he's super efficient, and like you look at the roster surrounding him, great defense, they should be a top 10 unit. Mike Tomlin, tied and true, Hall of Fame level coach. Tomlin is consistent as they come. And then you look at some of the offensive skill pieces. We know they don't struggle at receiver, right? Their offensive line, I intend for it to be better. So I think the Steelers, based on Kenny Pickett's progression, if he is able to be a top 13 type of quarterback, top 12, top 13 type of quarterback, I can see this team winning 11 or 12 games and possibly pushing for a top two seed in the conference. That's how good I think Pittsburgh is. Secondly, I have the Bengals in this division. I have them coming in second. I think Cincinnati, they're really known and infamous for getting off to late starts into their seasons. I think with they're not great. They're not a great running team. But I think with the when you have weapons on the outside, on the perimeter, and a quarterback that can deliver the ball each and every week, you're going to be a handful for defenses. You're going to be a handful for defenses each and every week. Now, like I said, if I'm a bet man, over the last 2 years, they got off to slow starts. I probably bet they get off to a slow start this year. They probably start first five games, six games. They probably go 3-3. I don't know. You know, they might start off really slow. But I think as the season goes on, as Joe Burrow catches momentum, I think they get better as the season goes on. I think they finish second in the division. And right after them, I have the Baltimore Ravens. Now, this hurts me a lot. I think this is the most difficult pick and prediction for me because I think so highly of Baltimore and Harbaugh and Lamar Jackson and what they have going on. But I can't trust their best players. Their best players are injury riddled. From Lamar Jackson to Odell Beckham to certain guys on defense like Marlon Humphrey, like I can't trust their top guys. And if you were to – and this might come back and bite me in the ass. I don't know. It might come back. It might come back and bite me, right? But – I think the Ravens' first year with the new offensive coordinator, OBJ, suspect in terms of availability. It's hard for me because I like this team, and I think year in, year out, they're a playoff team, especially when Lamar Jackson's on the field. But that is a question mark at this point. So I have them finishing third. And then at fourth, I have the Browns. Now, speaking of the Browns, I think a lot of this has to do with their quarterback play. I think defensively, with that defensive front that they have, and you mix it in with Jim Schwartz, he'll have dudes flying around everywhere. And I'm going to see that from Cleveland, especially in their front seven. He's going to have these dudes flying around everywhere. But Deshaun Watson, and this is where I kind of like, you know, I ask myself, is it more likely at this point, and you got to be honest, is it more likely that Deshaun Watson returns to a top 10 quarterback? Or is it more likely that Kenny Pickett turns into like the 14th or 13th best quarterback this year? Because if you're asking me, I think it is more likely that Pickett becomes the 13th or the 14th best quarterback this year than Deshaun Watson returns back to top 10 stats. That's just how I view it. And I think with the Browns and the way how this roster is set up and constructed, they need Deshaun Watson. In order for the Browns to, like, really fulfill their potential, they need Watson to get back to that top 10 level. Not saying it can't happen, but if I'm betting on it, I don't think it happens. And I think it's more likely that Pickett becomes a middle-of-the-pack type of guy and a good starter than Deshaun Watson getting back to top 10 form. So I have them at fourth. AFC South, let's do this quickly. The Jacksonville Jaguars, they're going to win a division. Point blank, period. I like Mike Vrabel. I think the Titans are tough. I think they're physical. I love their style of play. I love Vrabel's makeup. I like this. They're going to be a feisty team, right, in Tennessee, but Jacksonville's more talented. I think Trevor Lawrence is going to be competing for the MVP this year. Doug Peterson, I don't know if we talk about him enough, but Doug Peterson literally outdueled and outcoached Bill Belichick in a Super Bowl. I don't think we talk about that enough. He outdueled and outcoached Bill Belichick in a Super Bowl. We don't talk about that enough. So I like Doug Peterson. I think Jacksonville's defense is young. Trayvon Walker, is he going to pan out to be what we think he should be, or what we thought, or what a lot of people thought he would be? Probably not, right? But could he be a good player, really good player? Yeah, I think so, right? All pro? Maybe not. Pro bowler? Probably, right? But I got the Jaguars finishing first. They're going to win a division. Titans going to come in second. Indianapolis, I think, will be really interesting. I think Anthony Richardson, I'm going to put Indianapolis over the Texans, because I think Anthony Richardson is good. He's going to be able to make plays. And I think the supporting cast in Indy, a little bit better than the Texans and what CJ Stroud has. So I'm going to go with the Colts over the Texans for third place, and the Texans finish last. So that is the AFC. My AFC playoff teams: Chiefs, Jets, Jaguars, Steelers, Chargers, Bills, Bengals. Okay, let's move on to the NFC. NFC West, the Niners. I got the 49ers. I talk really highly of this team. Everybody, if you're a regular listener, you know how much I talk about and how much I love Kyle Shanahan and the offensive scheme and so forth. Everybody knows how brilliant Kyle Shanahan is, right? This is a juggernaut. This team, we expect this team to be playing in late December, late January. Like, that's just what we expect. We know about all that. We know about the studs that they have on defense. They just gave Nick Bosa a huge big time extension. So I got the Niners finishing first in that division, then following the Seahawks. I got to see them beat the 49ers before I, like, try to put them over them. I know a couple people kind of picked them over the Niners. I'm not going to do that. Rams at third place. I don't really know what to expect from the Rams. Their defensive personnel, it scares the living hell out of me. I don't know who the hell they have on their defensive personnel. You look at some of the week one starters, it's really, really scary for the Rams. If you're a Rams fan, you look at your defensive starters for week one, it looks really, really scary. And if you look at their first five games, it's a gauntlet. They could easily, first five games, they can start 1-4 if they don't get off to a good start. So I got the Rams at third place. The Cardinals, they're trying to stink. They're trying to get Caleb Williams. So, yeah, we'll see. Cardinals at fourth place. Let's go on to the NFCs. NFCs, I have the Cowboys. I have them winning the NFCs. You can say what you want. you know, I think Dallas is going to be elite defensively. They were pretty damn good last year, but you look at some of the acquisitions in terms of the draft selections, obviously Stephon Gilmore. They have two really good corners. Not a lot of teams in the league can say that. Not a lot of teams in the league can say they have two good corners. Several teams can say I have one good corner. Not a lot can say they have two really good corners that they, like, trust. The Cowboys have that. I like the continuity that Dallas has. And that's why I'm going to take them over Philly. Philly, they obviously lost some pieces in their defense, but Philly should be really good and good like that. Like, and when I'm saying Dallas, I'm saying, like, Dallas would be a 12-win team. Philly would be 11. Like, they're going to be neck and neck, and it could really go either way. But I like Philly, but I just, you know, you lose both coordinators. You lose some defensive guys, some key defensive guys. I see a little bit of regression, right? So, and then that brings the question, like, hey, can Jalen Hurts, can he do it again in terms of what we saw last year? And I think he can. I think he'll be able to replicate it. There might be some hiccups, but ultimately I think Philly will be really, really good. And they'll be in the thick of things when the playoffs come. The Giants, I think they're one of the prime candidates for regression. And I could be wrong. You know, I didn't see much improvement from their roster. They added Darren Waller, but he is already questionable for week one for a Sunday night game versus the Cowboys. So who knows what happens there. But and then again, the Giants could very well win the same amount of games that they won last year. But just with the eyes, they look a little better, right? Like the eye test, they may pass the eye test, even though they may have like an identical record from last year. But the way how they, and the way in which they won games last year in the fashion that they won it, it's really, really hard to replicate that in the NFL. It's hard. It's hard. So I wouldn't be surprised if I saw regression, but I have the Giants coming in third place. And then last, I have the Commanders. I don't necessarily think the Commanders are bad. Now, you know, I've been fortunate enough to talk a couple dudes and, you know, a couple dudes on the coaching staff, whatever. I think they're really good. I think their division's a little bit better than them. There's a little bit more stability from the other three teams. There's a change in command. Who in the hell knows what happens with Ron? Like, who in the hell knows what's going to happen with Ron Rivera? I don't know. So I got the Commanders finishing last. They got Sam Howell, quarterback, who I don't think is necessarily bad, but he's a first year starter. I got to see what I'm working with. NFC North. I got the Lions finishing first. I think they're going to win the division. And the people that's like, that's kind of like skeptical of the Lions. I don't know how. I don't quite get it. Like, okay, you have questions about Dan Campbell, and people like, so what does actually Dan Campbell do? He don't call plays on defense, don't call plays on offense. But it's like, neither does Mike Tomlin. Neither does John Harbaugh. They're throughout the league, there's really, really good coaches who are like CEO coaches. Mike Vrabel's another one. There's really good coaches in the league who are like CEO coaches. And that's what Dan Campbell is. Ben Johnson, obviously, is one of the more sexier candidates in terms of him landing a job for next year, right? Jared Goff. You know, he and granted the Lions, they beat the Chiefs, but Jared Goff looks so poised, and just the offensive scheme and the things that they're drawing up in terms of being able to run the football and then being able to, you know, have the play action game working for him. That's where Goff thrives the most. And you know, I'm not here for the Goff slander. I mean, this is now two different locations, two different spots where he's been able to get it done. Now, Goff is a three-time pro. Like, dude can sling it. So, granted, I think their defensive personnel still has some ways to go, but I don't think they're, like, atrocious on defense. So, I got them finishing first. Surprisingly, I got the Packers finishing second, too. I think the Packers are going to surprise a lot of people. I really do. I think Jordan Love is going to probably surprise a lot of people. Now, I don't know what to really expect of Jordan Love, right? Jordan Love is like the next heir apparent to Brett Favre and Aaron Rodgers. Highly, highly, highly unlikely. It just doesn't happen like that, right? But could he be a decent game manager? Maybe. And if he is, you look at this Packers roster, it's not a horrible roster. It's a competent roster. It's well balanced, especially offensively. Like, you're getting decent off. Green Bay usually has a pretty good offensive line. You have Aaron Jones, who is a Swiss Army knife in terms of being able to catch out the backfield and then as a ball carrier. They got some nice young wide receivers. Defensively, there's not a lot of holes, right? I think Green Bay should be pretty good. I think the Lions are going to probably win about 10 games. I think Green Bay can win about eight or nine games. I really do. So I'm going to take Green Bay coming in second. The Vikings, I got them coming in third. I think they're a prime candidate for regression. Last year, they won like, what, 13 games last year? 11 of their 13 wins came from one possess. Like, I think their 11 wins was like 6 points or less. That doesn't happen in NFL back-to-back years. You don't win all of the close games back-to-back years in NFL. That just doesn't happen, right? Like, you're going to lose some of those close games that you were fortunate enough to win last year. And that's where I kind of see with the Vikings, like, I see some regression. I could possibly sense some regression coming from them. I'm going to take them. They still have some defensive personnel issues that I have to figure out. They'll be able to put up points any given Sunday with, you know, Kirk Cousins and Justin Jefferson. Obviously, you know, they added Jordan Addison in the draft. They have TJ Hockenson. They got some really nice receivers and some toys to play with. But I think defensively, it's an issue. And then, like I said, highly, highly unlikely that you win all the close games last year. Like, some of those games, you're going to lose. That's just how it is. That's just how it's going to go. So, and then the Bears. I think they're going to be really competitive. But I still have questions about their defense. And, man, we got to see what Justin Fields is made out of. I know a lot of people are they're hype. You know, there's a lot of hype, Justin Fields hype going on, right? But we got to see him. We actually have to see him be able to throw the football down the field. So Bears coming in last. NFC South, I have the Saints, Falcons, Panthers, Bucks. Not much to really talk about there. And then my NFC playoff teams will be the 49ers, Cowboys, Lions, Saints, Eagles, Giants, Seahawks. I don't see much turnaround in the NFC. I don't. I feel like the cream of the crop is still the cream of the crop in terms of like the Eagles, the Niners, the Cowboys, right? I think obviously the Lions are another team that they're the one team that's kind of like sneaking in there. That didn't make it last year. Also the Saints, right? The Saints should make the playoffs and should win their division. But these are my NFL predictions. I think, I think some of it is basic, right? I think it's some of that. Yeah, of course. But I try to go out of the box from some of them. We'll see how it ages. But, yeah, you got to go with the punches. But those are my NFL predictions. And I will be back after this quick break. We're going to talk some, I'm going to wrap it up, and I'm going to talk some college football. It's been an exciting 2 weeks, so I feel like I must talk college football after this quick break. Quickly, because I think this deserves a little bit more airtime and probably even its own episode. To me, that's how exciting college football has been throughout the first couple of weeks, right? But it would be remiss of me if I did not talk about Deion Sanders and Colorado. What they're doing, first, kind of, and you know, I kind of hinted towards this. I before the season even started, I was like, hey, there's going to be some programs where we're gonna see a lot of regression. I thought Oklahoma had the chance to be one of these programs. Clemson is I don't think Clemson is no longer amongst the elite powerhouse programs like they once were. And I say that to go back to Colorado. I'm not surprised because I was kind of warning and telling people all throughout the offseason, really. Colorado, they're going to be really good. And Shedeur Sanders, you know, there were some people I was talking about Shedeur Sanders. I would bring him up and talk about, like, you know, I would go on like different live streams. I would go on different platforms, really. And Shedeur Sanders would get brought up, and we, like, you know, I would talk about Shedeur Sanders. I'm like, granted, he plays at Jackson State, but some of these things that he's doing are like, they're translatable to the Power Five. And I saw that. I think a lot of his skill set, I saw a lot of his skill set being translatable to Power Fives. And I think the misconception with Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, these guys, they were recruited by SEC schools. Like Travis Hunter, before he committed to Jackson State and Dion, he was committed to Florida State. Obviously, Shedeur, he was big time Texas quarterback, coming out of Texas high schools, right? But he was recruited by the SEC schools. So it's not like, that's why this holds up. I think I kind of find it like kind of not surprising that he's playing as well, because he was recruited by the top schools in the country. So it ain't like he was just like this old, like, no. He was recruited by the top schools in the country. He just decided to go play for his dad, which was understandable, which we could have all guessed, right? So I'm not surprised with so far how good Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter has been. Now, with Buffalo, or I should say the Buffs, Colorado, I have been surprised, and maybe not even surprised, but appalled by the line play. I think they still have a long ways to go in terms of their play up front. But they're not bad. Now, their defense, you can't win a national championship without being good defensively. Like, you can, but in college football, and I thought this was a real possibility for Colorado. But could they win 7, 8, 9 games? Maybe, hell, maybe even 10 games? Could Colorado win like 8, 9, 10 games? Yeah. In college football, you can win with a really explosive elite offense and a so-so defense. Ask Lincoln Riley. And, you know, I thought, you know, after watching the TCU game and then, you know, Colorado beat up on Nebraska, Colorado, they have the talent in terms of the skill position and the guys on the perimeter. They have the talent. They don't lack that type of talent. They just lack the play within the trenches. But this is the formula. Like, this is, like, this whole transfer portal and leaning into NIL, and this is where, like, I give Deion Sanders so much credit and so much props, so many props, because look at a guy like Clemson and Dabo Sweeney. That first Dabo, and there's a multitude of reasons why Clemson is falling off, right? But I think the main thing is Dabo failing to adapt with the times. And I think that's the thing that kind of stands out with Deion Sanders. Because when you think of Deion Sanders, like, if you ask, like, a football fan, like, just their general opinion about Deion Sanders, they're probably like, oh, you know, new school, you know, really flamboyant, you know, kind of cocky, borderlines cocky, confident, right? You know, he borders that. But when you hear him as a coach and he's talking, say what you want about Deion. I always have backed Deion, and, you know, I thought he was a pretty good coach. But you hear him talk to the players, to the kids, he's very much old school, and he has his way of discipline and coaching and the culture, very much old school, but He has adapted to, okay, transfer portal, okay, NIL. Like, he has adapted to into the players, into the kids. And I think you're kind of seeing it trickle down throughout the country where Clemson IE is a main example where, you know, you fail to adapt, you're going to lose. It's like this. It's like playing Monopoly and owning places, but then you're not buying houses and you're not investing. And everybody else is owning places, buying avenues, and putting down houses, and you're not. That's not how you play Monopoly. If you play Monopoly that way, you're going to lose. So if you're going to buy Park Place, you got to be able to put, invest, and put houses on Park Place. Like, if you don't do that, you will lose every time in the game of Monopoly. Because everybody else that's playing, they're adapting, they're putting it around, they're wrapping their arms around NIL and transfer portal and so forth. So I think they're off to the right track in Buffalo. The Buffaloes are off to the right track. The Buffs in Colorado. I like what they're doing in Colorado with Deion Sanders. And I think he's kind of like, they kind of feel like really cultural shifters. I think Colorado with Deion had, it's really a cultural shift that I feel like we're witnessing and that we're all watching with Colorado. It's a cultural shift. And I think it's a cultural shift in the way in which coaches can do things, how things can really operate within college football with NIL and the transfer field. The quarterback play, that's another thing. The quarterback play that I have seen from college football, like every other game I turn on, there's like a damn NFL quarterback play. And have you guys ever noticed? You watch NFL and they may pan the camera on the sideline and you see guys like Matt Barkley and Brian Hoyer, and you're like, how in the hell have they? And it's like, oh yeah, such has been in the league for 12 years. It's like, what the hell? How did Matt Barkley stay in the league for this long? he's not good. Like, how did he stay in the league this long? That's all about to change. Those type of guys are about to get weeded and gutted out, because the level of quarterback play that I have been seeing over the past three Saturdays has been phenomenal. I mean, and hell, you can just look at the Pac-12. You turn on Pac-12 games, you NFL quarterbacks everywhere. Obviously, Caleb Williams, Shedeur Sanders, even UCLA has a freshman that's nice. Bo Nix, Michael Penix is absolutely phenomenal. Probably throws the best ball in the country. EJ Ugalele. I mean, like the Pac-12 is loaded in quarterback play. Loaded in quarterback play. Sam Ewers, I mean, he had the second half of his life versus Alabama. The quarterback play throughout college football is really, really refreshing to see. And it kind of shows the 24 draft and the 25 draft going to be loaded with quarterbacks and NFL teams, even NFL teams with decent starting quarterbacks. They're going to certainly look into drafting a quarterback or two in the next coming years, because these next 2 years in terms of quarterback and the depth at quarterback is going to be absolutely phenomenal. But I'm gonna stop it right here. I will talk to you guys later in the week. I want to talk more Clemson. I want to talk more Texas. Texas got a big time win over Alabama, so I want to talk more about that. And so forth, more college football. But this is a prediction and just some of my thoughts on college football and what I've been seeing. But always remember, two choices, one decision. Peace, deuces, I'm out. Hope you guys enjoyed.